Today's message is entitled, Love, the Point of Origin. Now, we talked a little bit about that last week, but last week was kind of just an overview, a real quick summary, an overview of the study. So we're going to get a little more in detail in some of the scriptures that we mentioned last week. Well, some of the things we mentioned, just to tie the two together, love being the foundation for everything that we do as Christians. And we also mentioned that not only is it the foundation for everything that we do as Christians, we also mentioned that actually love is the foundation for everything. That God is love, and we'll get a little bit deeper into that. And we also mentioned that He is the point of origin. We're going to start today in John 1, and we mentioned that last week, but we just mentioned it. We didn't get into the actual scripture itself. I will be using the New King James as well as the Amplified Bible. This particular one in John 1:1, we're going to use the Amplified because there's a lot in this scripture that we don't get in the regular translation. In the beginning. Now, almost all translations state that, in the beginning. But the Amplified qualifies that word beginning. In the beginning, before all time. Now, that's a subject in and of itself, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. And read that again and take it slow so we catch every thought. There's several subjects in verse 1. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. So we see the union between God and His Word. God and His Word are one. And that's one of the first things that we need to understand if we're to understand God, if we're to understand ourselves, if we're to understand the Bible. We need to know that God and His Word are one. You cannot separate them. They are one. They are absolutely, totally, totally truth. They're absolutes. They cannot be changed. They are absolute truths because they come from God Himself, and God cannot lie. But when you look at the Word, you look at God. When you look at the Word, you look at Jesus. When you look at the Word, you look at the Holy Spirit. They are one. Now, last week we mentioned, and we'll get to these scriptures, but while we're on that subject, we find out that God is love. He's the being love. So if God and His Word are one, inseparable, then what's that make the Word? The Word is love.
Yes.
Because they're inseparable. God is love. The Word is love. So when we read this Bible, it's a love letter. Not just to the church. It's a love letter to mankind. It's a love letter to creation. That's what the Bible is. The Bible reveals the heart of God. It reveals who He is. It reveals His purpose. It reveals His thoughts. It reveals His ways. Everything that God is revealed in the Scripture. The beginning is revealed before all time. And even before any creation in heaven, it reveals God in His heart.
Amen.
It reveals the end of time. Not the end of things, but the end of time, because time will be absorbed into eternity and will be no more. But eternity will continue. This is a fascinating subject. The more you study it, the more you meditate on it, the deeper it gets, the more the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you. But everything flows through love, because God is love. God is love, the being. Then the verse 2 here in John chapter 1. He who. I like to qualify words as I go. If you just read it, he, well, it may not qualify what who he is. But if you're going to talk about he, then you need to know who he is. He is Jesus. He is the Word. That's the subject of verse 1. God and His Word are one. He, Jesus, the Word, was present originally with God. What's that mean? That means before anything at all was ever created, He was with God. Because He is God. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit are one. Inseparable. There was a time when the things in heaven were created. In eternity? Yeah. The only real eternity there is God Himself.
Amen.
He had no beginning, and He had no end. Has no end. The things in heaven have a beginning. A time when God created them. The temple in heaven, the angels, all that is in heaven had a point. A point is not time, so I can't say time. Had a point when God created them. The difference between that creation and the creation inside of time is what God created in eternity has a point of creation, but no point of end. It doesn't end. The things created in time has a beginning and an end. There's two different things there. Time has, because it's time, it starts and it ends. It's linear. Eternity is not. There's no beginning because God is eternity. There's no end because God is eternity.
Amen.
He's eternity itself. So anything that exists other than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, anything other than that had a point of creation. Anything outside of eternity has a point of creation and a point of and an ending point.
Yeah.
Or a place of conversion.
Amen.
Back into eternity. So keep that in mind. Now, the reason I'm bringing all that up is because we don't have a big understanding of that, but also we need to know the connection between God and creation. We need to know that there was a beginning before those 6,000 years mentioned in the Bible. There was a point before time existed at all. Time has not always been in existence. I don't know how long eternity was before time was created by God. Nobody really knows. Because, for one thing, there is no time in eternity. But there was a point when God created time. How long were the angels and all of that there? We don't know. But we know Lucifer or Satan was there before that. We know that he fell. He worshipped. How long was he with the head of worship in heaven? Who knows? Nobody knows. So this is an exciting subject when you're thinking about it. We don't have time to go into all that, but I love it. I want to go there. But we're talking about God and His connection to creation. If God is love and all things flow from Him in heaven and on earth or in time, if that's true, then the point of origin is love, because God is love.
Amen.
Love? Well, what about coronavirus? Do you think God created that? No. He created the elements involved in that. But at the fall of man, there was a lot of perversion took place because of sin. A lot of things mutated. A lot of things changed. But originally, those elements that made coronavirus, however they come together, the things that are evil in this world were not evil before the fall.
That's right.
They became that way because of the fall. Some things wound up being good. All things are really good in God. But you think about it, and I'm getting off on my subject here a little bit. But I like to think about this stuff. Everything that was originally created is still here.
That's right.
Still here. Every molecule that was ever created still exists. It exists in a different form. And one of the most mind-blowing things that you learn as an adjuster, which I was an adjuster, some you know, but they don't. I was an adjuster for 32 years. I handled a lot of fire losses. And one of the first things they teach you when you're investigating a fire is the fact that everything that was in that house is still there. It's in a different form. It looks different. But everything is still there. So you have to be thinking on how it was converted and changed due to the fire. Sometimes you only find a little piece of it. What is this piece? What is it connected to? What was it? That's part of the mystery. It's fascinating. I didn't like doing them, but the mystery is fascinating. But all of the water, what happened to it that was in everything? It evaporated. Will it no longer exist? Yes, it does. It evaporated and then condensed and come back as rain. Everything is the same as it was when God said. It's all here. It's just different. We are made up of things that other things that were before us, our bodies. That's fascinating to me. And that's going to continue. Nothing leaves time. Nothing leaves time except the Spirit. We are a spirit. We're the only thing that can leave time. When we die, we step over into eternity. That's all that can move and leave time until time is absorbed into eternity. That's ahead of us. I'll be thinking about that because it's fascinating when you realize that all things come from God. All things are returning to Him.
Amen.
All things. All things. So love is the point of origin, and we see that in these scriptures. Verse 1 again, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. That's awesome right there. All things. This is what I've been talking about. All things. Does that leave out anything? If it's a thing in heaven, or in eternity, or in time, if it's a thing, this verse covers it. All things were made and came into existence through Him. And without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in the darkness. For the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. They cannot. Darkness and light cannot merge. Darkness can never move light out. Light moves darkness.
Amen.
And that's so awesome. Now, we don't have to go there right now, but one thing God's Word says, God is light. God is light. So I just put that together with love. If God is love and God is light, then light is love.
Amen.
Right? If the Word is God and the Word is love, then the Word is light.
Amen.
What did God originally say to start things? He said what? Light be. Now, based on what I just said, if light is God, the Word teaches that God is light. And it teaches God is love. Can't get around those things. There's several scriptures in there on that. Then the Word, light, is love.
Amen.
So if you could put it this way, God said, love be.
Amen.
Okay, now back that up a little bit further. You see, you've got to keep backing up. What did He say? Me, be.
Amen.
That's what He said.
The creation.
Because He said, light be. God is light. God is love. God is love. God is light. That's what He said. Me be. That's why eternity is eternity. It's because it's all God.
Amen.
It's all God. That's why eternity is God. Eternity is love. And everything that exists or ever has existed, that came into being, is love related. It is the origin of all things. And before God said that, where did that reside? I said it last week. We always think, or the word comes from within us, whatever we're saying. So it was a mental, he just spoke out of his mind. Well, yeah, but he spoke out of his heart. God is love. So love said that. So that word love, that word light, that word be, was inside of God before he ever said that. It's as much part of God as God himself. Now, I'm getting a little deep, but take time to think about that. Because you got to, if God is love, then you've got to take it back. And if all things were created by him, you've got to take it back. If there was a little slime that crawled out and became something, it was still created by love way back there. Love's still the creator. God's still the creator. Well, there was a big bang. Yeah, when God said, may be, there was a big bang because there wasn't anything else prior to that. Just God and the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's a big bang. You've got to take it right back. Even the existence of coming into time, God created that. He had to speak it. Time be. This is your boundaries. This is your beginning. This is your end, time. Now, man, I put you in there to take authority. I put you in there to work this, to be God, not God, but to be the Lord over this time. You're responsible for it.
Amen.
All creation was put in the control of man when man was created. This awesome subject. But the point is, that I'm trying to make, love is the point of origin.
Amen.
Love is the point of origin. See, if we don't understand that, we will take it apart. And we'll see bits and pieces. And we will never understand the depths of God's heart. But if we understand that that's who he is, and that everything originates there, then we can come into a better understanding of God's emotions, of God's ways, of how he responds. And when I pray, how he hears that prayer. When I fall and I slip and I make a mistake, how that cross came into being and why it's there. And how I have a way back to this awesome grace. That's so awesome. God's grace. Word said, Vanderbilt calls it unmerited favor. God's grace. What's it based in? Love. It's his love. You can, in the same place you see grace in the Bible, you could put love. And be exactly 100% right. Amen. Okay, John 1:14. We're down a little bit more. We won't spend a lot of time. It's been more than I thought it was going to be on that. But it's necessary for us to have that understanding. In John 1:14, this is the Amplified again. And the Word. We've already identified the Word. And the Word Christ became flesh, human incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us. And we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace and favor, loving kindness and truth. God is truth. His word is truth. So yeah, we saw that in him. John saw this, and the Word became. Jesus did not come into existence when he was born. He was back there in the beginning before all time. But this was the time when he actually loved himself. He was born a man. in order to love man. In order, he had one purpose, and that's that cross. And the reason for the cross is so that we could get back to our Father. The whole reason for it. There wasn't any other reason for that cross other than a doorway, an avenue, that God and man could become unified again as one. That's why that cross is there. That's why the blood was shed. That's why he was born. That's why it took all those thousands of years to position man where he could come. All of that's related from the very moment of the fall, and it's all love related. All the law is love. All of those commandments are love related. Because it was the only way, because the cross hadn't happened yet, God had to put laws so that man would turn to him and man would walk with him, allowing him to love them. Without them walking those commandments, he had no way in there in their lives because the cross hadn't happened. But every one of those commandments are not so-called white knuckle, I gotta do this. They're love related. That's really all the Sabbath is. That's really all of those covenants and all that. It's all love related. To get a relationship back with man. That's all he's doing. God has not done anything else since the fall. He's got one goal, just one. The union and communion between God and man. That's all. He's not doing anything else. And when I think about that, I think how awesome that is. We are so deeply loved and dearly prized. So deeply loved and dearly prized. The Word became flesh. Now let's go to Colossians. If I can find my little computer. Colossians. And go look at. I want to do the whole thing, but I don't have time. So Colossians chapter 1, and we'll go to verse 15. I was going to use the New King James here, but there's just so much revelation in the Amplified, so I'm going to go ahead and use the Amplified on this. I was going to use both and then read one and read the other, but I just don't have time for that. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Amplified Classic Version. Now he is, again, who's he? Jesus. The Word. Now he is the exact likeness. The New King James says image. Amplified says exact likeness of the unseen God. In other words, when you see Jesus, you see God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When you see one, you see the other. They are absolutely one. No way to separate them. Now, he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. Verse 16, for it was in him that all things were created. Now, we saw that again in John 1, didn't we? Here, Paul's bringing it out. For it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth. Things seen and things unseen, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, by his service, intervention, and in and for him. Verse 17, and he himself existed before all things. And in him, all things consist, cohere, and are held together. He also is the head of his body, the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone, in everything and in every respect, might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. Now, I love this next verse, the way Amplified puts it. For it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes should dwell in Him permanently.
Hallelujah.
Oh, and verse 20, and God purposed that through, by the service, the intervention of Him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to Himself, whether on earth or in heaven, as through Him the Father made peace by means of the blood of His cross.
Hallelujah.
That is so important for us. He made peace. Why would you have to make peace? Because of the fall. Man separated from God. Man separated from God. God didn't separate from man. Man did the separation. So there was an enmity there, a division, a separation. And there had to be a reconciliation. And the only way that could be would be somebody sinless dying. Somebody without sin taking the place.
Amen.
And that was Jesus. He was born of man, fully man, actually born of woman, and born of the Holy Spirit. God came upon Mary, and the Word of God became flesh. That's so awesome. There had to be a sacrifice, and it had to be blameless. It had to be a sacrifice that could die for someone else, that could take the place. And there's only one, and that's Jesus. Jesus has as much love for man as God does. They're one. He came because of love. He went to the cross because of love. Everything that He does is because of love. Everything the Holy Spirit does in us is because of love. Everything He does through us is because of love. There is nothing else as far as God is concerned. And He paid the price and shined this love forth so that we could receive that love and step into it and become one with Him again. Let's look at the high priestly prayer of Jesus just a few hours before the cross, that they may be one, that the world may know. There's no other purpose. Now, if this is the last prayer you pray, what would it be? I'm not going to be interested in anybody else but me here. I'm the one going to this thing. No. His interest was in man. Love prayed for man.
Hallelujah.
That's so awesome. That is so awesome. Now, let's go. We mentioned these. I'm going to try to cover these in a few minutes. In John chapter 1, 1 John 1. We mentioned these last week, but I want to cover them by reading the whole thing instead of just mentioning them today. Because we're talking about love, the point of origin. 1 John 4, 7. And I think we'll use the King James here, New King James, and then compare a little bit. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Amen.
Now look at the Amplified here. Same thing. It makes it a little bit of a revelation here. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is springs from God. I love that. Love is springs from God. A spring is something that bursts forth, isn't it? And a spring is just refreshing, and it's bubbling up, and it's just kind of ongoing. And there's life in the spring, and that's what it's saying here in the Amplified. Beloved, let us love one another, for love springs from God. And he who loves his fellow man is begotten, born of God, and is coming progressively. So it's ongoing. Progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of Him. That's the Amplified. What's it saying? It says the more you walk in love, the more you'll understand God.
Uh-huh.
That every love decision you make, there's a love seed that goes in your heart. A love seed that comes up. A love seed that bursts up. And then when you actually walk in love, that seed becomes a harvest. You become better and better and a better place to understand God. This is so important for us. There's so much more than just to know God. That's what that word know and understand means. In the New King James, it says to know God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So the Amplified is much stronger there. Taking that word know, and it's telling us what that word know really means. I love that. Beloved, let us love one another, for love springs from God. And he who loves his fellow man is begotten, born of God, and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of Him. Now let's jump down to verse 15. So we're tying together in verse 7 and 8, we tie together the fact that God is love, and that as we love, we come in to a stronger and better knowledge and relationship with God. Because we're walking in love, we come to understand God. Now in 1 John 4:15, now, let's go ahead and use the King James here. Amplified Classic. 1 John 4:15. Anyone who confesses, acknowledges, owns that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides, lives, makes his home in him, and he abides, lives, and makes his home in God. And we know, understand, recognize, and are conscious of by observation and by experience. And believe, adhere to, put faith in, and rely on the love God cherishes for us. God is love. And he who dwells and continues in love, dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. See, that this, as we walk in love, we abide in God. And listen to this next verse in 17. In this union and communion with him. What union and communion? The one we just talked about. He who loves is abiding in God, and God's abiding in him. That union. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, because we're in union with him, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. Mm-hmm. Talked a little bit about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
This is so important to us. See, it's this union between God and man. God is love. Love is the point of origin. So it makes sense that if we're created by God, mm-hmm. and we've got born again now here, so how do we get born again? We got born again through love. Love caused us to be born again. So now love is in us, so love is flowing in and through us. So in that union and communion with God, love is brought to completion or fullness. Hallelujah. Verse 18, I'm going to just have to have time just to read these quickly. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who was afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. We love him because he first loved us. So there is a place, as we're walking in God, there's a place where fear doesn't exist. Fear, walking in love is not a weak thing. It's the most powerful thing there is. Love never fails. There's nothing stronger than love. And if it is the point of creation, it's the point of origin, and we are born of love, by love, then we have that ability to walk in that. But it's a decision at a time, a moment at a time, a place at a time, a point at a time. Everything we do, we need to filter through that love walk. Amen. I got to stop there. We're out of time, so I'm going to have to quit. But I don't want to. There's so much more in that. But we'll move on next week. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that we have of being one with you today in your word. That you've had an opportunity to show yourself to us. We thank you, Father, that you've invited us today into your throne room to share revelation with us. We thank you for everyone that's joined us through live stream today and those that will join us later on through the same live stream through Facebook. And we give you praise for each one of them. We bless them. We thank you, Lord, that this revelation will be ongoing in all of us and that we'll know who we are in you and we'll walk that out in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.